Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I elect that we record a podcast.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay. Can you just say the thing for
me? Not just this episode. I think I'm done.
I know, but can you just say the thing for me?
And this is Stranger Still.
Stranger Still,
a podcast where you ask stuff and then we talk about it a little.
No one asked this question today, though, except for me. Who's Nick Wood? I'm Nick Wood, your co-host.
I'm John Began.
And
your co-co-host.
My co-co-host. The movie Coco host, which is probably the best Pixar movie.
No, Coco host is that delicious stuff that you get from the church out of the back room.
they hide it.
Get that chocolate host. Yeah, there's only a little bit of it.
The holy host.
Mm-hmm. Got that dark chocolate host.
Sure. Today, John, we're a day late for elections and stuff, because the day that we're recording this is election day, but the day that this comes out is the day after election day, when we all weep into Stouffer's lasagna.
Gross. You like those? Those are good?
I mean, they're pretty good.
Okay.
I'm not going to discriminate against Stouffer's, but...
How do you think they vote?
You know, that's not for me to decide. Okay. Anyway, we are going to talk about some weird election thing, because we talk about weird things from time to time, and elections are on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't something that came up this year. It comes up every 4 years in the presidential election, and that is electoral colleges and how stupid they are.
Yeah, they played a big role in 2016.
Mm-hmm. They played a big role in 2000.
Yep.
They've played a big role in our democratic system since its inception, as we'll come to know. But I want to get my own biases out of the way, because I hate the Electoral College. And as you guys know, this episode is titled, Should We Abolish the Electoral College? My answer is yes.
Yeah.
But I want to say that I've hated this ever since the fourth grade. And I remember I remember learning about the Electoral College and thinking to myself, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What are these adults thinking?
Yeah.
Whose idea was this?
Mm-hmm.
And I never had an answer to that question.
George Washing Machine. George Washington's brother.
They have different last names.
Washerman?
Yeah.
He was trying to branch into a different...
Didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
They had the same first name, though.
Right. Washing machines didn't exist, so they're hard to... It's hard to... sell buckets and soap.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, John,
yeah.
I'm going to move away from George Washington Machine. What is the Electoral College?
The Electoral College is a elitist tool.
You're going to go...
Hold on. No, I'm not going to be biased. Okay. I'm read it as a dictionary. It's a ploy created by the corporate Democrat and Republicans.
Come on. Okay. Well, for those of you who don't know,
it's people that's vote counts more than yours because they're more important than you in their eyes.
I mean, that's a good way of putting it. It's the system that we use in the United States to elect our president and subsequently the vice president.
To decide what's best for the babies.
For the babies that are us.
Mm-hmm.
Each state is assigned a number of electors, which we'll get more into. But when you go to the polls, you're basically voting for how the electors are going to vote. And then the electors take your vote, depending on who wins in your state, and they vote for that candidate.
Mm-hmm. Or they delegate on your behalf, and they're called delegates.
Yeah. The whole system started out way back in the day. 1887.
Wow, that's the day.
That is the day. It's a year. There was a constitutional convention where a bunch of powdered wigs showed up and got together and tried to figure out...
Powdered mullets. It was 87, bud.
Oh, sorry. My bad. 1787, okay. Not 1987. Can you imagine a powdered mullet?
I just kind of want to watch Escape from New York now. It just sounds great.
So anyway, these powdered mullets got together and tried to figure out a formal process by which they would elect the president. And they considered many things. They considered a straight up and down popular vote. This person got the most votes, they're president now. They also considered having governors of the state or state legislators just do the vote with no popular vote involved. They considered having Congress do the voting. So you would elect your Congress people and then those people would vote for the president. What they landed on on, though, was the Electoral College. The second best one.
Where they get to make up their minds and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, everything's made up and the points don't matter. So they landed on the Electoral College, and the original purpose was pure. It was meant to keep special interests out of politics. So if it were up to Congress to make the vote, who's to stop the presidential candidate from, like, slipping them a 20 and saying, hey, vote for me, you know, that sort of thing. It also
I thought money was speech, though.
You're getting way into other topics for other
episodes. These are all surrounding it, though.
It is. We're focusing on one aspect of the corrupt electoral process.
I'll try to chill.
We'll cover the other problems with elections in subsequent election years. But it also sought to reconcile, as the History Channel put it, differing state and federal interests while also putting some aspects of a popular vote in play. So different states obviously have different interests. So if someone's in favor of farmers as opposed to industrialists, the farmers will have a different opinion than, like, New York or whatever. So Iowa doesn't agree with Florida. So that would reconcile those differences that they had. And the Constitution basically said, give each state two senatorial electors. So every state gets two senators, so you have two electors for the Electoral College. And then there was another elector for every person in the House of Representatives that they have. So the way that that's distributed is every state gets at least one representative in the House of Representatives, and then the rest are distributed based on population. So some states only have one representative in the House. Some states, like California, have 53.
Mm-hmm.
So some states, when it comes to the Electoral College, they only have three electors, whereas a state like California has 55, which is a huge difference. Part of that is to make it even to the population, but as we get to at the end of this episode, that isn't even true.
Yeah.
Back in the day, though, what's really interesting is the Electoral College would vote for two people, two different candidates, and whoever won the most electoral votes was the president, and the runner-up was the vice president. So you might have...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you might have two completely different parties as president and vice president. We might have people that hate each other be president and vice president. Be like if Trump was president and Ted Cruz was his vice president. By the way, did you see Ted Cruz try to take on the Triumph?
Beto?
No, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog?
No.
You gotta watch that clip.
Okay.
I'll show it to you later. It's pretty good. So the Constitution never really dictated a lot of things with the Electoral College. It never dictated how the electors were to be chosen or how, like, the electors were to be distributed. The only thing that it said was that an elector could not hold an office of trust or profit under the United States. So they couldn't be involved in the state in any way. So when it comes to choosing the people, each party has their own people that they choose. And then depending on who wins, those people go and vote for the candidate in the end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've done it. I was a delegate for Bernie.
Yeah. During the primaries.
During primaries.
Yeah, and, it's the same kind of concept.
Yep.
So these days we have 538 electors. That's across the 50 states and Washington, D.C. And then in order to become the president, you have to have the majority, which is 270 votes. There are seven states plus D.C. that have the minimum of three electors. And then, like I said, California has 55 electors because they're the most populous state, if you couldn't figure that out for yourself. And then each state actually has their own way of choosing the electors. So like I said before, the Constitution doesn't lay that process out. The parties get to choose their own people. And they can either do like a popular vote, so the people in the state vote for the people that are the electors. The members of the party get to choose the electors. There might be a district vote, so if you're in a district, you vote for one person to be an elector. It just kind of depends on your state. Each state gets to choose what they want to do. And then after the votes, like our votes are cast in November, the electors convene in December and make the final vote for the president. It's a totally needless process that we go through for this dumb system.
They take the envelope and they walk it over and hand it in.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing.
But they could change their mind.
They can change their mind. And those people are called rogue electors. It's part
traitors.
Of the process. Or traitors, if you want to call them that. But like I said, like the party chooses these people, so they're supposed to vote for that party's candidate. And if they don't, they're called rogue electors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally okay. It's part of the process.
It's not okay.
Well, it's okay because it's meant to keep crazy people from getting into office.
Yeah, it's meant to control how people vote.
Yeah. Well, no, it's part of the process to if someone completely unfit for office gets elected by the Electoral College and these people are like, hell no, then they don't get in. However, that kind of goes, there's a lot of problems with this.
It should go to a hearing in that case.
Yeah, it should.
It should be like Kavanaugh, where he had to get like the like horrible job interview.
You got to do bad.
Like, why are you allowed to vote for this guy if he had this corruption? Yeah.
So all but two states also go by a winner-takes-all approach, which is the dumbest part of the whole thing, which means that whoever wins the popular vote in that state, all of the electors for that state go and vote for that candidate. Like, even if it's 51 to 49%, that person that got 51% gets all of the electoral votes.
Yeah.
In 58 locations. No, 59 locations, because there are two states that don't follow this rule, Nebraska and Maine. And what they do, because it's up to the states to decide whether or not they do this, they've decided to have a proportional split depending on where the popular vote lands.
And haven't they also gotten rid of the Electoral College in some states?
I don't think so.
But there's already been movements to try to get that taken care of, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into it at the end of this episode, because there's a lot of nuances to that. Because it is in the Constitution, like, they wrote it in as an amendment to have the Electoral College, so you could write an amendment to take it out, mm-hmm. or you can change it. And I think there are ways that you can change it to make it work the way that it was meant to, but that's not how it is today.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. That's the point of this episode. I got to give you some backdrop, though.
All right, I'm ready.
So...
this is what happens when I know a little bit about what we're talking about.
Well, yeah. But the reason I bring up Nebraska and Maine is because there's a lot of issues with the Electoral College, but this is one step in the right direction. It doesn't solve all of the problems, but having a proportional split, like, makes it at least feel like your vote counts. Because if I go and cast my vote for Bob Bobskins, and he loses by 1% or 2% of the vote, my vote literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, like I said before, at the top of this episode, I very distinctly remember learning about this in fourth grade and thinking it was the dumbest thing in the world. And I lived my whole life wondering why we even do this, because it makes no sense to me. And I was like, how can this be acceptable in 2018, 2016?
Well, it's not.
So I think a lot of the criticism from my perspective comes down to the winner takes all system. So I was curious to figure out where this came from. And like I mentioned before, it comes down to the state. It's a state's decision, but it originated very early on in the 1800s, and each state's leader was trying to hold on to as much power as they could. So they decided to implement this winner takes all. It's kind of like a high risk, high reward. So if you're pushing this candidate that's from your party, it's a really easy way to make sure that they get as many votes as they can. Dumbest thing in the world. And the reason that it's so popular is because as more states started to adopt it, people started to realize that this was an effective way to get more power behind your candidate. But it also made it harder for other states to compete, because if their vote was being split up and they were opposed this person that got the winner takes all, only like half of their votes went toward the candidate they wanted. So that's, it just became universal at that point.
And that's where you start getting like the, you better vote for whoever because you're going to split the vote otherwise.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And it also puts us in a place where a person can lose the popular vote by almost 3 million votes and still become the president.
Yeah. Rank choice.
Like, that
voting
would ever happen.
I want a rank choice.
What's that mean?
Do you go over that at all?
No, go into it.
Ranked choice voting is like the bomb. It's you pick in order who you would vote for in a primary. And if your first choice doesn't win, then your second choice counts as a vote.
Oh.
And it just goes down the list that way. Yeah. So that way you don't have to choose between the lesser two evils and that whole argument.
Yeah.
You could put one Bernie, two Jill Stein, three that guy that looked like a thumb, and then Hillary at the bottom or whatever.
Donald Trump was at the thumb?
One of them. I don't know. I don't remember which side it was.
Yeah. But I want to get into whether or not we should trash the Electoral College or keep it, because that's what we're here to discuss, John. And one of the other main criticisms is stemmed from what we just discussed, which is that the presidential candidates basically only campaign in states where the electoral votes are going to help them win.
Mm-hmm.
So after the primaries, places like Iowa or Wyoming hardly ever see the presidents ever again. Because why? Iowa has 6 electoral votes. Wyoming has 3. Why go to Wyoming?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Spend time in California with the 53.
Exactly. 55. According to an analysis I found on fairvote.org, they said that the 2016 election campaign basically took place in 4 states. And as I say them, you'll realize that it's true, because that's all you ever heard about on the news, and that's Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Florida. Those were like the 4 states they campaigned in.
Because that's where you have swing votes and
that's
all that.
That's where you have swing votes. The other criticism is that due to the House distribution, some electors have way more voting power than other more populous states, and the division comes from the census, which is done every 10 years. So by the time it's like, I pulled numbers from 2012, and just in 2016, 4 years later, some of the most populous states had shifted or left the top three entirely.
Yeah.
So I got some numbers together, and this is based on my math. So
which could be completely destroyed by midnight tonight.
It could be. But I want you to guess. I have the top three states that have the least amount of voting power because they have, well...
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico doesn't have any voting power.
I just want to mention them. They're not a state.
I know. But the way that this works is if they have a more populous state than they have electoral votes, like one electoral vote counts for X amount of people. And the higher that number is, the less voting power an elector has. And the lower that number is, the more voting power they have.
Okay, Montana.
No, we're talking least amount. So, like, the most populous state, basically.
Oh.
That's what it comes down to.
California?
California is second from the top, or bottom, I should say.
And Texas?
Texas is the bottom.
And New York?
New York was on there in 2012, and it left the list.
Oh, dang.
I think okay. It was number one on the list, and now it's off. It's, like, number four.
So what's the 1, 2, 3?
49 is Florida with 710,773 people per elector. California is 50 with 713,636. And then Texas is about 20,000 more than that. So 733,226 people per elector. What do you think about the states that have the most voting power?
Ohio?
Nope.
Florida?
Nope. Those are so middle of the road.
I don't know. I can't even think of the big races. I'm trying to think of like smaller states. I feel like
exactly
it's a trick.
That's what it is.
So it's got to be like what, Rhode Island?
No, that was close. That was like number 4 or 5 in 2012. I'll just tell you. Number 3 was DC with 227,056 people per elector. Number 2 is Vermont with 208,198 people per elector. And then the very first one is Wyoming because they have a low population and 3 electors with 195,167 people per elector.
Damn.
So that's a huge separation when you look at just Wyoming and Texas. That's the difference of almost 500,000 people per elector. That doesn't seem fair, does it?
Yeah.
So some Republicans might look at that and say, yeah, California's ratio is way off. That's awesome because they're not going to vote for us. So they might be okay with that. And that's why making these changes is so hard to do because people don't want California to have equal power to other states.
There's no merit to that argument.
Right.
It's such garbage.
Like, well, we'll get into some of the pros that we have here. That's just one argument from some Republican sides. I mean, the same thing would happen for Democrats,
that's
too,
the corporate
right?
Democrat argument right now, that there's a group, I can't remember the name of them off the top of my head, but they like masquerade as a progressive group.
Yeah.
But they actually are like for strengthening the Electoral College and gerrymandering.
Yeah.
So that they could like cheat to win and then get rid of it later, they say. Yeah.
No, it's stupid.
That's not how that works.
Some other cons are that, like I said, people just don't feel like their vote matters. Swing states become more important and it doesn't really support the will of the people. Because again, you can lose the popular vote by 3 million people and you still become the president. That doesn't seem fair to me.
It's the same thing as when you're in class and you split into groups and you get one person to speak. Uh-huh. And that one person just decides, actually, I'm just going to make everything up and change my mind and not represent my group. That's it. Just make that now like how a country functions. A superpower.
Right. We've talked about why it's a bad thing. Let's talk about some reasons that it might be a good thing. Like it directs more power to the states that don't have as many people, thus keeping them interested in politics. So people in Wyoming, since they have more voting power, might be more persuaded to vote in general.
Yeah. And they're more important than people in Texas.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
I think so. Some other pro, I didn't come across a lot of pros, but some of the other ones where it facilitates the two-party system. So Congress isn't just making a decision. They come in for a tiebreaker.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. We don't need more options. If there's anything that we have too many of, it's options. I want to be told who to vote for. This is another good reason, Nick. What's the last reason you got?
Oh, I got plenty of more reasons. Like it protects minority interests. It's just what it listed. I don't know how that is, but...
It protects minority interests.
So...
What is this listed on?
I don't remember. There are several sites that I pulled this together from.
Okay.
The Electoral College... This one I actually agree with, which is that the Electoral College guarantees certainty to an outcome. Which, when I first read that, I was like, what the hell does that mean? But imagine that this crazy world where a third-party candidate gets such a large portion of the popular vote that it makes it so no one else gets a majority. And this has happened. Back in 1992, with Clinton, he won the popular vote and the electoral vote, but only had 43% of the overall vote. Because 40-whatever went to the other candidate, and then the remaining 10% went to someone else. So he didn't have above 50% of the votes, even though he got the popular vote and the electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good way to make sure that somebody is certain to win, right? That's the only thing that I feel like is going for the Electoral College.
But why would you want to do... Like, that's the idea of Hillary's definitely going to win, and there's no chance Trump could.
Not really.
That's the same, like, oh, they're guaranteed to win, like, by using...
No. It's not that they're guaranteed to win. It makes it so that somebody does win. Because if nobody gets the majority in the popular vote, then nobody can win, right?
So why not make it whoever gets the most popular vote?
Well, you...
In that circumstance where he got 43%, the others did not have as high as 43%.
Yeah.
So he wins.
Well, you have to have the majority. I think the Constitution says you have to have the majority of the vote to win. So that's where the Electoral College comes into play.
Okay.
And then the last thing that came up as a pro that I definitely don't agree with is that it makes it easier for candidates to campaign because they know what states to go to.
Oh, good.
They know they got to go to the swing states to get those votes. That sounds flawless. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah, geez.
So, my opinions, we could get into discussions, but maybe we should take a break first.
Okay.
Should we do that? Just say yes.
I was taking a break already.
Oh. Hey, John, where can people find us?
StrangerStillShow.com.
You can also, if you want to support us on Patreon, there's a wonderful place you could go to. That is
StrangerStillShow.com/shop.
That's right. And there's other smaller ways that don't cost money that you can support us, like leaving a review on iTunes. That'd be a really nice way to do that.
Shouting StrangerStillShow.com at your enemies.
Into the ether. We have a new review, John. And sorry if I missed anyone. The iTunes podcast app is just the best. And for whatever reason, all of the reviews were out of order. So I'm sorry if I missed any other ones. But we got one from Giraffe of Betrayal.
Oh, wonderful.
Gave us 5 stars.
Wow. That's titled, the minimum amount.
Here's the funny thing. You made this joke before we started recording. Their review is titled Stranger Danger.
Look at this.
Yeah, synchronicity. So they said, I've been listening to episodes of Stranger Still for about a month now while I'm at work. It helps dull the pain. I jest, but it helps time pass faster. It's proven. John and Nick have an enjoyable rapport, and there's never a dull moment, except for right now. They said, I've been a vegetarian for almost 13 years, so I connect with John on some levels.
Yes.
He also has a great sense of humor.
Yes.
With Nick, I guess. Wow.
This is wonderful.
I'm hurt. I also like Scooby-Doo. I'm jesting again. I relate to Nick, too, though I do love Scooby-Doo. You're after my own heart here, Giraffe of Betrayal. I have a history with mental health disorders. As a dude, it's nice to hear other men comfortable with talking about their own disorder/history with mental illness. I really appreciate the awareness that Nick in particular raises. Keep it up. Great work, guys. Hey, thank you, Giraffe.
Look
of
at
Betrayal.
That.
I appreciate it.
A little depression positivity too in there.
Yeah, mental health awareness. It's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Get help. It's not admitting defeat. Anyway, I think we should, speaking of depression, we should talk about whether or not definitively we should abolish the Electoral College. What do you think? Should we get rid of it? Like overnight, just get rid of it?
Yes, please.
So tell me why. You don't see any benefit to the Electoral College at all.
I think if we got rid of it overnight,
what would you replace it with?
Rank voting.
Okay.
Done. You have a perfect country now.
All right. Well, you got to sell the public on it, so work on that a little bit.
Okay. So the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. I am going to decide that my 10 people in my group vote for the Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leader, who is it me, decides, nah, I changed my mind. I saw a YouTube video. I'm going full Libertarian or Green Party.
Yeah.
Or Republican even.
Yeah.
That should never be, like, there's no reason that should be legal and okay and fine.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's like this purity, well, we know what's best attitude of like the people that are in power and making these rules.
To be fair.
And following it.
To counter that argument,
okay.
You're speaking of a very, very rare instance of rogue electors, which has happened like 10 times in the history of elections.
I want that aspect of it outlawed, please.
Okay.
Now, next.
Yeah.
Popular vote. Come on. Give people power.
Okay.
At least spread it evenly. If you're going to treat it as something that you have a certain amount of representatives
Like, see, that's where I like Nebraska and Maine's philosophy on it.
Yeah.
Which is the proportional distribution.
Because that should be for everything standard, period.
It should be. And I think that the original intent of the Electoral College, which was to give smaller states a reason to care and to feel like they were empowered, still holds a little true. Like that I don't think we should immediately get rid of that. And the House of Representatives distribution, no one has a problem with that. So why do they have a problem with the Electoral College, right? But the problem is that system is still broken because all of the electoral votes go towards one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the best way to fix it would be to do a proportional split.
Or ranked choice voting.
Or ranked choice order. That's okay. That's my personal opinion on the matter.
Okay.
You think we should abolish it. I don't think we should. I think we can make changes through amendments. That's what the Constitution is there for. It's meant to be changed. And we already have the system in place. And it's gotten broken because there's not, like, the rules on the Electoral College are too vague. We need to button them down.
Okay.
And make it work for the people.
Fix the Constitution right now. Go.
We can't fix the Constitution.
Just fix it. Yeah.
Amendment there, fixed it.
You amended it? Okay. 28th Amendment is to get money out of politics.
Yes. That's very important too.
There are companies like Wolfpack, I mean, nonprofits, and mm-hmm. there are many, many others that are trying to get that started.
Yeah.
But I think that's the number one most important thing for me too, would be, I think ranked choice voting is up there for me too.
Yeah. I think that part of the other problem too is that a lot of people are trying to have this conversation in 2016, right after Donald Trump won because of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And this is a time where I would say this is not the time to talk about it. Like when it comes to other things like guns and stuff, people are like, oh, this isn't the time to talk about it.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It's always the time to talk about that. But by talking about it right after a presidential election, you're weakening your argument because then people turn around and say, oh, you're just upset because Trump won.
Yeah, but also you just experienced a crushing loss that you didn't see coming because of it.
Because of this broken system. However, what's done is done. You reflect on it and you move on because our system is broke. Yeah. But how do you fix it?
But I think if it wasn't brought up right away, we wouldn't have been talking about it during the midterms and next time.
That's true. And it did come up because I went to isidewith.com, I think it is.
Yeah.
My wife told me about it because I was like, I need to look into these people. And she's like, oh, you just put in what your values are and it tells you who you agree with and what degree you...
Are you communist, socialist, extremist?
I'm a far... I'm not going to say what I am.
Okay.
Our listeners can just guess what I showed up as. But one of the things on there I was surprised to see were, like, the questions are laid out like, I think marijuana should be legal, and then strongly agree or disagree, and then you rank it how important it is to you. And one of them was, I think the Electoral College should be changed, like agree, disagree, and how important to it is. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize that was part of the political conversation because no one ever talks about it, but at least some candidates out there are thinking about this.
Yeah.
And of course, at least in Iowa, the Democratic candidate agreed with me that it should be changed or gotten rid of or replaced by something, and the Republican was like, nope, keep it the way it is.
There you go. Yeah.
So I don't know. It is broken, and fix it. Call your senator today.
So what's this latest news that we did have about the Electoral College, though, that there was something that was being pushed through Congress?
I have no idea. Is there something?
There was. I could look it up. I don't know.
The only thing that comes up when I search news under Electoral College are things like liberals shouldn't push for an end of the Electoral College. Hey, liberals, you're doing yourself no favors by clamoring for an end of the Electoral College. Fifth graders have fix for Electoral College. Hey. Shout out to my fifth graders. So I don't know if there's any news of it lately.
There was something like 6 months ago, but I can't remember now. All I've got is from 1 year ago.
Yeah.
What Bernie says is time to rethink it.
I don't know. I don't think that... I think it's something to push for. Because if you've ever been like, I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't matter, that's because of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
That's the main problem right there. So that's Electoral Colleges. Do you have anything else for me, John?
I do not.
That's right, you don't.
Make sure you had voted already.
Yeah. Make sure that you registered to vote in 2020.
How about this? Do what I'm going to do.
Which is?
I lost my early voting ballot,
uh-huh.
So I went and voted in person instead.
Yeah.
So you have to prove that you destroyed it, or you have to, like, prove your... You have to mail a piece of paper in saying that I voted provisionally.
Yeah.
So if you did vote provisionally, remember to mail that little slip of paper in, or your vote won't count.
Yeah. Also, hey, this episode's done. I'm going to go vote.
Then okay, Let's go do that.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still. I don't know why I said it like that.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird ending.
Deal with it.
I give you the incredible flying. machine.